You ever noticed how a song can take you back? Whenever I hear In the Garden, it takes me back when I was a child. I remember hearing my mom sing In the Garden when she was in the kitchen one time or two times. I just have this memory. When I hear Bee Gees, Staying Alive, I am in junior high, and we are in the cafeteria at a school dance. That was back in the disco days. That was when dancing was fun. There are a lot of songs that take you back. Here's a song that takes me back. See if you remember this one. Takes me back to college days. When I was in college, I wasn't sure love was for me. I wasn't sure how that worked. I wasn't real comfortable with that idea. And then I started realizing that it's happening. I was falling in love, and I decided eventually to stop fighting it. Wound up marrying the girl that I think of every time I hear that song. I think about her. I think about our time together at Baylor. That song takes me back. Here's another song that takes me back that you probably never heard. A long time ago, I had a little baby girl in my arms. Every night, we'd rock before bedtime. We had a tape that we'd play. That tape had all those lullabies on there. This was always my favorite song. We'd rock. Lisa and I would take turns. She'd get one night, I'd get the next night. I always looked forward to when it was my night. We'd rock and we'd listen to the same songs every night and get ready for sleep. And the song said it the way I couldn't say it. From the tip of your toes to your cute little nose. I-L-O-V-E-Y-O-U. Takes me back to a good time. Music has a way of taking us back. But you know, it's not just music. Taste can take you back, right? When I eat oven-fried chicken, every time I eat oven-fried chicken, I think of my mother-in-law. Matter of fact, I think it may be her oven-fried chicken that got me to, I can't fight this feeling anymore, to fall in love with. Even an aroma. You smell something, and that smell takes you back to an event, to a memory. Sometimes it's tactile. You feel something that reminds you. Takes you back. In Galatians chapter 6 at verse 14, Paul says, the cross is that thing to which he keeps returning. He says, I don't want to boast or brag about anything except the one thing that defines my life. He said, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We heard that verse earlier in our worship time together. It's a verse in which we are reminded that the one thing that defines us as believers is the fact that Jesus died for us. And that in order to serve Him fully, we must die to the world. To die to the world is to say, all of those things that used to be important to me, that used to define me, all of the worldly treasures, all of the worldly priorities, the things that used to drive me are no longer a part of who I am. Now I am defined by the fact that the God of all of the universe loved me so much that He sent His only begotten Son, who loved me so much that He died in order to pay my penalty so I don't have to die. That now defines who I am. Paul says, I don't want to have anything else to brag about except the change that has happened in my life because Jesus died for me and I have crucified myself to the world around me. Paul continued to go back to the cross. Look at all that Paul did. I mean, he was starting churches left and right. But he always went back to the cross. He wrote a big chunk of the Bible, most of the New Testament. But he always went back to the cross. He traveled more than probably any of us. Well, that may not be completely true. He traveled more than most of us. But he always went back to the cross. He said, that's what defines me. I don't want anything else to be my glory. My glory in the cross. Jesus wants His followers, I think, to stay grounded, to stay closely tied to the cross. He wanted us to find our identity in the cross. He wants us to make sure that we never forget the cross. And so, He gave us a powerful picture to take us back to the cross. He gave us the supper. It's a powerful picture that takes us back. Maybe even more than a song. It takes us back. In just a moment, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. And we're going to take our time with it. And when we do, I want to encourage you to do this. When you get that piece of bread, I want to encourage you to hold on to it and think about what it is and what it means. Because this is not just a picture. It actually uses all of our senses to take us back. You can smell that bread. Let it take you back to Calvary. You can see it. When you see it, you'll be reminded that He said, I am the bread of life. You'll be reminded that He said, I'm the bread that has come down from heaven. And if you don't eat of me, you have no part of the kingdom. That is a paraphrase, but that's what He said. When you look at it, let it take you back. You can feel it. And when you feel it, you'll remember that it's real material. I mean, it's a real thing. Jesus is not just a story. He's not just a hero in a book. He was a real human being. And when you touch that bread, let that remind you of Jesus' humanity, that He was real. And you'll be able to hear. The instrumentalists are going to play music that is going to help us go back to the cross. And then you're going to taste. And when you taste, you are not to evaluate whether or not you like the taste of this particular form of bread. When you taste, you're to let it take you back. Jesus' body was actually broken. And he wanted us to participate in a supper in which we receive that bread to remind ourselves that his body was broken. So you receive the bread, you taste it, and let that taste take you back to Calvary. And same thing with the cup. When the cup is distributed, don't drink it right away. Hold on to it for a minute. We'll all drink it at the same time. But you just hold on to yours for a minute. You can smell. You can see the color, reminder of his blood. You'll hear the music. And you'll taste it. And when you taste that cup, be reminded again of the great price that he paid that we might have life. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We must never forget that. Let the table, let the bread, let the cup take you back to Calvary. Deacons, would you join me at the Lord's table? We understand this to be the Lord's gift to his disciples, that we would always remember what he did on Calvary. What that means is we understand this to be the Lord's supper, his table, not ours. So you don't have to be a member of First Baptist Church to participate in the Lord's supper. You don't even have to be a Baptist to participate in the Lord's supper. It is important that if you take the bread and the cup, that you are a Christian, that you've already accepted Christ, that you've made a personal commitment to him. And if you are one of his, then you're welcome to the table. Our tradition is we pass the plate one to another so that everyone serves someone. Service was an important part of that night that he shared the supper with them. You remember he washed their feet and then he told them to do that kind of thing for one another. So that's why we pass the plate. You receive one element, hold on to it. Think on it. Maybe even pray over it. Paul says that we should not take the Lord's Supper until we've examined ourselves. That's why we're going to take our time. So you have plenty of time to talk to God along the way. Do some self-examination. Let your senses take you back. Paul says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God, All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Because the table takes us back, because the bread and the cup remind us of His death for us on Calvary, Paul continued in his teaching about the Lord's Supper, and he said that whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So you have seen and heard, you have smelled, you have touched, you have tasted the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now, I wonder, now that you have experienced it again, I wonder if the Lord might be calling you to make a commitment to Him. Maybe He calls you to trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've not done that yet. But being reminded of what He did for you, perhaps you'd say, today is the day that I'm willing to say I'll live for Jesus because He died for me. Maybe you'd say, I'm already a Christian. It's already settled. I know that I'm okay as far as salvation. But I also know that I have wandered away and I need to recommit my life to Christ. Maybe you would say that God is calling you to join our church. Perhaps He calls you to missions or ministry. We want to give you the opportunity to respond.